Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
So the biggest guy now, with KD off the market, so to speak, because he's not playing next year, is Kawhi Leonard. And there are reports that he's leaning toward Toronto. What I'm told is this. It is between the Clippers and the Raptors. And I'm told the front runner is the Clippers because he wants to be home, and it's going to be a lifestyle decision for him, lifestyle choice, even over money. He's giving up. If he leaves, he gives up $50 million guaranteed.
And we'll have given up 80 total. Yep,
from what he could have gotten if he had stayed in San Antonio.
Right.
So it's not just about money. Now, don't shed any tears. He's still going to get like 4 years, $160 million.
Still a lot of money.
Right. But he will have given up a good chunk of money by if he leaves Toronto. And the Clippers fans are wooing Kawhi as best they can. They have billboards on the highways talking about Kawhi Leonard, and one just has his name on it. They've
offered him all kinds of deals.
Well, that's Toronto.
Right? Oh, you're talking about the Clippers one, right.
This second billboard has the King of SoCal on it. And the question I want to throw out to you, Rob Parker, is if Kawhi Leonard does indeed come to the L.A. Clippers, who will be the king of SoCal? Because there's already a king here.
Yeah, Burger King.
And his name is LeBron James.
Oh, you're talking about that king.
3 rings, 4 MVPs, that king, yeah.
6 losses. Oh, I'm sorry. Right?
So who will be the king of L.A. if indeed Kawhi Leonard does come to the Clippers?
This is really easy for me, and it would be Kawhi Leonard, hands down. And from this standpoint, it's not a lifetime achievement award we're talking about. We're talking about, Chris, right here, right now, and Kawhi is the king of the hill. You could talk about what LeBron's done in the past. He hasn't won a championship in a number of years now. You could talk about his 27-8-8, all you want.
Why you say it like that?
I just had to throw it out there like that. But Kawhi Leonard has performed and produced on the biggest stage.
And LeBron hasn't.
No, I'm talking about our current date. We're not talking about the last time LeBron won a championship. I think sports writers were still using typewriters. It's been a while, Chris. Let's just be honest.
2016, it was 3 years ago. What are you talking about?
You know what I meant.
No, I don't know what you meant. 3 years, all right?
Feels longer than that. You know it does. But my point is, Kawhi is the new hotness. He is, Chris.
He is the new hotness.
Am I right? Come on now, from this standpoint.
He's not nearly as charismatic as LeBron James.
I agree, but his play and what he's able to do in transforming a team like Toronto that had never won a championship to where they are now, champions, and he's from here. He's from this area. He's a home guy. He's a home guy.
That's big.
It is big.
That's why he's coming back.
It's one thing like, okay, LeBron is this great player. LeBron's from Akron, Ohio. That's not to take anything away from him and his ability, but now a homegrown guy is going to come and possibly transform a franchise that at one time was the laughing stock of the NBA. And now he could turn them into a championship caliber, and he will have an opportunity to do it 2 years in a row, take two teams, and have a chance to win. I'm not saying they're going to win automatically if he joins the Clippers. But, Chris, you'd be hard-pressed to tell me they don't have a chance to be in the Western Conference Final.
No, they have a chance to win it.
Right.
I'm not saying they would either, but they have a chance. They would be a contender. If Kawhi Leonard goes to the Clippers, they would unquestionably be a contender, an elite team. And the one thing I do agree with you on is you talk about a legacy maker. Now, his legacy is being built to tremendous degrees already. All right, two championships.
Two finals MVPs. One MVP.
One of only two players. No, not a league MVP, but one of only two players to win the finals MVP and a title in each conference. All right? So his legacy is growing to incredible standards already. But if he could go, he went to Toronto, delivered a championship to a franchise that had never had one. If he goes to the Clippers and delivers a championship, especially if he did it next year.
Right.
And delivers a championship to a franchise that has never had one, oh my goodness.
Through the roof.
All that said, though, Rob, I don't think you could immediately crown him the king of SoCal if he signs with the Clippers. It's going to be up in the air because LeBron now has Anthony Davis and the Lakers. Just like we say the Clippers can be a contender, the Lakers, I think even you'll admit, should be a contender.
I still don't view them that way. Not that they're not going to be in the mix, but I don't look at them as like a favorite that they're going to win.
But
like
I ain't
think.
Say favorite, but
a lot of people think they're favorites.
Yeah, you know, most people think they're favorites. And at this moment, when we don't know what the Clippers look like, what, you know, Golden State, is Klay Thompson going to be back?
Who would you put ahead if the Clippers got Kawhi Leonard? Right, just based off of that.
I still think I would put the Lakers ahead.
Wow.
I mean, okay. That's how good Anthony Davis and still LeBron James are.
I'm so impressed.
What don't you like?
But I'm just more impressed by what the Clippers were able to accomplish.
Man, you're making too much out of it.
No, I'm not.
And I like the Clippers. I think they would beat Toronto West. They have a shot. But I'm not getting all bent out of shape that they took the Warriors to six games.
No, but this is the thing.
I think if the Warriors really took it hardcore seriously, they could have swept them.
But this is a different one. But the point was, and you know this, let's be honest, when they got rid of
Tobias Harris.
No, Chris, you think they would tank?
They went to the first round of the playoffs, right? We're acting like they went to the conference finals.
No, but my point was that a lot of people just wrote them off, and they have a little something going.
They showed heart.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, so did Brooklyn.
I like where they are. That's all.
You got a soft spot for teams like that. That's why you picked Brooklyn to beat Philly.
They want
But I don't even mean that. I'm not trying to insult. I'm just saying they were a product of low expectations.
They
did overachieve, and it was great. But I'm just saying, let's not make it more than it was. And I agree with you. If Kawhi goes there, they're a contender. I said it from the beginning. But to put them ahead of LeBron James and Anthony Davis?
And LeBron is an aging star.
I mean, unless LeBron just fools around and creates drama and is not happy because not only do you have Anthony Davis, but you don't have another superstar, which I don't see happening.
No, I look at it as
he does all that, I think they're in for a good season.
I just look at it as entering his 17th season. We saw him last year, and I don't know. I mean, is that a beginning of the end? I mean, I know he had the 27-8-8, but they weren't the same impact numbers. And I don't know
he got hurt.
But then also he came back, and
right,
he still put up numbers,
bad.
but they didn't win. And then I just wonder about Anthony Davis, who has a history of being hurt. So
so does Kawhi.
I'm just saying, and I hope that this doesn't happen and he can play a full season and it's not an issue.
Really hope it?
Yeah, I don't have anything against Anthony. I don't have anything against Anthony Davis.
No, but look, if you want to bring in injuries, of course, if LeBron or AD gets hurt, then they're not the same team.
Okay.
But I expect those two to play well together. This is what LeBron wanted. And I think LeBron has to zero in on, look, let's get it done. This could be, you are right, it's his 17th year. Who knows how many great years he's got left. That might be it next year.
Right.
So get it done. I don't care if you start in Kyle Korver. All right, you got Anthony Davis, get it done.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's move on to baseball. And Albert Pujols Went back to St. Louis. Of course, his best years, his Hall of Fame years were all with the Cardinals.
Which was incredible how long it's been since he left St. Louis, and this is his first time back.
Yep, yep. And you tell us why you got goosebumps.
You know what? Our buddy Scotty Leonard sent it to me. Sent me the video, you know, on Twitter.
Right.
And Scotty's from St. Louis, and he hit me up, and I saw that, man. I got goosebumps watching that response. Here's a guy.
They gave him a standing ovation every time he was at the plate, right?
But this one, the first time he comes up. But
isn't that what happened?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, but it was just that he walked out on St. Louis. You know, it wasn't like he got traded away. He helped them win a couple of World Series. He put up all those big numbers in St. Louis. He's a guy who probably should have finished his career there. But it didn't happen, and he winds up going to the Angels, right? And, Chris, just listen to this ovation.
Batting fifth, number five, first baseman, Albert Pujols.
Wow.
That was only 15 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
But the original.
What? It was pandemonium.
The original went for a minute. And I'm telling you, when I watched it, I'm talking about I watched it on Twitter. And I got goosebumps. It was that's spectacular.
You need to get out more, dude.
Is that what I?
You got goosebumps from that? Play that again.
What?
Play that. What?
Batting this tip, number five, first baseman, Albert Pujols.
Chris, it went for
Will
over
you
a
stop
minute.
It?
It was unbelievable.
This is another Rob Parker. Baseball is just the best. Everything affiliated with baseball is so awesome. They actually cheered a guy that walked out on them. Oh, my goodness. Where else do they do that? You know where else they do that?
Where?
Cleveland, Ohio for the NBA.
You mean when they burn LeBron's jersey? Is that the Cleveland you're talking about?
LeBron
or do you forgot
James?
That?
No,
did
no.
Did you forget
yeah,
that?
No, but
they
I
didn't
you,
burn Pujols'
jersey. You know what I
jersey?
Didn't forget? Was when LeBron went back with Miami the second time, and not only did they cheer him, but the kid runs out on the court with a come back, please come back LeBron shirt on.
Do you know that was staged?
That softened
Who set
him
that up
for the comeback 2 years
that,
later.
That ain't softened him. That was the reason
His
he
heart
came back?
Was wrenched that- when that kid came out there. Don't give me this, Rob Parker. Are you serious? You know why they're cheering him? Because he's not in St. Louis anymore. What is he batting in with the Angels? I mean, he's been horrible. He's been horrible. That's why they're cheering him. Thank God you left. And we're not on the hook for that huge contract.
Would you stop, Chris? Stop.
I can't believe you,
That
Rob.
Ain't the reason. That is not the
Trying
reason.
Trying to get all mushy about that thing.
What an ovation. I've told people this over and over again. St. Louis is the baseball capital of the United States. They love the Cardinals more than anything. You go to a Cardinals game, everybody has on red. And remember this, Chris. There's not too many cities in the United States that have run two football teams out, two NFL teams out in St. Louis. They don't have an NBA team, and they don't have an NFL team. And you know what? They love the Cardinals.
And the
Blues just won the Stanley Cup.
You think if Pujols was hitting 337 instead of 237 that they would be cheering like that?
But he also had a home run against them, and they cheered him for the home run against the Cardinals.
Yeah, it was a pity cheer. He needs it. He's been struggling, dude.
Open up your soul. Come on.
He's made one all-star team in like 9 years.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
This isn't really a positive story for baseball.
No, it's bad. It's bad.
Yeah, you got Rob G, you explain it.
Well, yeah, guys, this kind of boiled over last night, Sunday night. The Cubs and the Mets. Now, the Mets were winning, and Mickey Callaway could have went to his closer, Edwin Diaz, get a five-out save. He decided not to, and the relief pitcher gave up a three-run home run, ended up losing the game, so everyone was kind of heated afterwards. Now, a lot of the press was pressing manager Mickey Callaway about why they didn't bring in their closer, and, you know, it kind of got a little bit heated. So on his way out the door, out of his office, one of the reporters from Newsday, Tim Healy, says, "Hey, I'll see you tomorrow, Mickey." And Mickey Callaway did not take that little comment very well because he ended up getting into a shouting match with him. Really, not even a shouting match. Just kind of berated him in front of everybody.
So, Rob G, let me. Do you think he took it as if he was saying, like, you're going to be fired or something? What would be would set you off, Chris?
I think he was just upset.
But you know what I mean? We'll see you tomorrow, Mickey. Like, why would that make you go off? If a reporter says, "All right, see you tomorrow,"
I think he was just still upset by the line of questioning.
Okay,
that's what I think. I don't think
it had nothing to say with the comment, though. I'm just asking. Right?
Maybe took it as sarcastic.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like that way, but I just from the stories I read, I feel like he was just upset. Look, we're reporters,
right?
Okay, and we have a job to do. And it's not to be on the side of the team necessarily.
We don't work for the team.
We write positive stuff. If you're playing horribly, we're going to write it. But as a player or a manager, I do get this. I do get, because we've been trained in journalism. They haven't. They don't necessarily think of it as they have a job to do or they
most
they
don't
think
get it.
Of it as you couldn't carry my jock strap
right.
in baseball or
you don't
basketball.
Know
or football.
About, we don't right. know nothing about what.
How dare you question you know I played in the big leagues, right. I've managed 10 years. How dare you question
my
me
moves,
on the
right.
That's how they feel. And so I understand that. I remember there's a time I was talking to some players. You know, because as a beat writer in any sport,
right.
For
you're
me,
around
it was basketball,
all the time, right?
Every game, every practice, I'm there. Every game, I'm in the locker room before the game. I'm in the locker room after the game, and I've talked to the players like, "Man, I know y'all get sick of us," and I was like, "We get sick of y'all too."
Right? We wish that it was like 1 hour and we didn't have to stand around
exactly.
all day while you get undressed.
Yeah, but I like you know, but you just have to understand the situation, and sometimes they get heated. But he probably just took. He was upset with them questioning him. Guys, he doesn't think know anything about baseball
right.
questioning.
So, Rob G, you got quotes?
Oh, yeah. He wasn't just a little bit upset about the line of questioning. At one point, he says to him, now this is Callaway talking to the reporter, "Don't be a smart-ass MF-er."
Right.
Later, wow. approached him again saying, "Get the F out of here. We don't need that BS here." Now, Mets pitcher Jason Vargas in the room about 10, 15 feet away, got into a stare down with the reporter. And then eventually looked at him and says, "I'll knock you the F out."
Now, why is he getting
and he took a few steps toward him before getting
that?
Held back by his teammates.
That's ridiculous.
Why? I've had players run up on me and threaten me.
You have some threaten you?
Yeah.
Really? So when the Walter Berry, right?
Walter Berry was one.
You was about to knock Walter Berry
man,
out.
Man, we was going
to
scrap. Me and Cliff Brown from the New York Times was my man.
Y'all were going to double team.
And you're going to have to help me because Mike McGee.
Oh, it was.
He's the one who was at the door. And Mike McGee goes to the door and goes, "Hey, Walter, here he comes. Me and Cliff are walking." This is at the old Spectrum. So we're coming back, and then Walter comes to the door and goes, "Hey, Rob, can I talk to you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, what's up?" I walk right up to him, right to his face. "Why are you writing that BS about me? Why are you writing, you know, and all that?" Right, I was like, right. "Walter, man, I talk to people. That's what I got. Right. It ain't BS." And, you know, he wasn't really going to do anything. But I wasn't angry or...
Right, right.
I'm not going to make no first move or nothing.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm just telling them whatever it is. But, Rob, so the bottom line now is all that goes down. And then today, what did we get, Chris?
Well, of course, the Mets released a statement of apology. And then today, Mickey Callaway, the Mets manager, had, you know, they play today, right? So before the game, of course, he talked with the reporters and he did apologize. Here's what he said. "Billy Martin punched a reporter one time. It's part of this game. Hey, I'm a passionate guy about baseball. I'm a tough competitor. Sometimes you'll see it with the umpires. Sometimes you'll see it with the players. The thing is, you guys don't need to see it directed toward you guys. You guys have a job to do. I understand that. Always understood that. And you guys don't need it to see it directed toward you. That's the number one thing." I think that's adequate.
No, that is.
But 2 hours later,
now what?
He met with him again just to kind of clarify. He said, "In my meeting with Tim, the writer
from Newsday,
right,
New
from
York,
Newsday, I apologize for my reaction. I regret it. I regret the distraction that it caused the team. is something I'm not proud of. I'm not proud of the distraction. I'm not proud of what I did to Tim. For that, I'm definitely sorry. So I don't know that that was necessary, but he basically apologized to the media members two times today.
And then you know what?
And I thought his explanation was legitimate.
And it's good, too, because it becomes a black eye for the organization. I mean, you're the manager. You got to remember, you ain't on solid ground.
No,
that's all,
no.
You know what I mean?
There's no doubt.
You're not on solid ground.
I think he gave a good explanation, but I'm sure he didn't want to.
No.
He didn't want to do that. But like you said, he's probably going to get fired.
He's going to get fired. He's real close.
Yeah, they're not playing
to get fired, and I think that's probably part of it. That's why I was wondering when he said, "Hey, we'll see you tomorrow," was he thinking, like, you ain't going to be here.
Right.
You know what
that's
I mean?
Possible.
Like,
that's
like
possible.
You just blew another game by not making the right call on relief pitching. So
that's very possible. And then with the Knicks,
they had an issue too.
The same city, New York Mets, New York Knicks.
But this is with the Daily News reporter, right?
They did not invite the New York Daily News to the R.J. Barrett press conference. Of course, R.J. Barrett, their number one draft pick. It must have been the day after the draft, so last Friday. They did not invite the Daily. How do you do that?
That's
utterly ridiculous. Now, they had a long-standing feud with Frank Isola, who covered the Knicks for the Daily News for probably
25 years?
At least 20 years.
At least 20.
Right, and I covered them with Frank. Did you cover
them? No, not with Frank, but Frank wasn't doing it then when me, Cliff and Curtis Bunn were doing it. But he was around, you know what I mean?
He
wound up coming by.
Yeah, and so I know Frank well, and everybody's probably seen him on television. But their feud was ridiculous. They wouldn't send him press releases. Nobody would talk to him. And he still managed to cover the team and do a good job. But I guess this feud continues, not just with Frank, but with the Daily News in general.
Like the Daily News has it out for the Knicks. And the bottom line is, dude, you guys haven't won since 73. Stop it.
Exactly. You want favorable coverage?
And what coverage do
you want?
Joke. Right. What coverage do you want? I mean, I just don't understand it. And I haven't brought up James Dolan was so mad about how sports columnists and their opinions that when his family bought Newsday, that same paper, he got rid of the sports columnists. Like, they had really two really good columnists, Ed Howard and Sean Powell.
Right.
The first thing he did when he bought the paper was get rid of the sports columnists. This is where I don't get it. But I guess as we go forward on this whole story, do fans get it, like, whether or not somebody's credible? Does it matter who you're getting your information from? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's people writing blogs, sitting at home in somebody's basement, you know, writing stuff, speculating. Are those the things you go to, or do you go to somewhere credible? Or the other question is, I don't think the fan sites do well. And what I mean by that, Chris, is I don't believe the NewYorkKnicks.com is going to do better than the Daily News, the Post, or the New York Times.
No, because it's not going to be objective.
It's propaganda.
Yes.
Almost, right?
And I'm not saying all of them. Like, you know, NBA.com, guys will write what they feel.
But they are paid by
But yeah, you're that is your employer. You always say, we don't work for the team.
Right.
Well,
if you work for
Nets.com, you do work for the team.
And could you write a column on Nets.com where you say their coach should be fired? You can write that column. That column will never be published, no matter how poor the team is. So that's why
I want objective journalism. And
I'm asking, do fans really want it? Does it matter? Or do you care?
One thing I will say, and this is not just sports, I just think the news in general today is very much propaganda. You know, like we obviously, someone uses the term fake news. There is a lot of fake news out there. You know, left wing, right wing, whatever it is. You know, when you go to the channel, to a particular news channel,
where you going?
What spin you're getting. I'm just looking for some objective news, you know what I mean?
Well, but that's why still in this country, and I'll say this, you can still rely on the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA. There are still good newspapers.
But they also have leanings. The New York Times going to lean left.
But there's no doubt about it. That's always been a part of it, but it doesn't mean that they distort the news or only paint it one way. I've seen you know this, and I'm not saying there was always a paper in each town. In Detroit, the Free Press, which I worked at first, that was the leaning left, and then the Detroit News, which I also worked for, was the right wing paper, right? But when we came to covering different things in sports, it wasn't all. It might be the mindset of where you right,
yeah.
But it wasn't totally. I think you're right. It's more jaded now than it ever has been.
No question. I think the other thing, Rob, is that everybody talks about Kevin Durant and how sensitive he is and going to New York. The thing about New York, and I know it has changed in that news now is everywhere. Right. So if you're in Oklahoma City or Utah or whatever, you're still getting covered largely by national media.
Right.
And the internet has, you know, so now they're seeing the New York Post and Daily News, Times.
It ain't
all
like
over the
old
country.
Days. Right.
So that's different. However, I still would argue that the New York City reporters are the most aggressive.
New
or
York,
maybe East Coast, Philadelphia.
No, New York,
aggressive.
Philly, and Boston are
right,
probably
are the most aggressive.
Absolutely,
and
they will challenge you, no matter who you are, or whatever. If you don't give a legit answer or you try to sideswipe,
like you saw Oklahoma City when they wrote the column headline about Durant was Mr. Unreliable,
and then they
retracted it,
which would have never happened in New York,
no.
Boston, or Philly,
or when Westbrook and Durant were in Oklahoma City. Obviously, Westbrook is still there. And just known, not just them, but the team. The players were known to have beefs and issues with the media, and the team would keep them away from the media to a large degree. In New York, it would have been a whole different story.
It would have been a war.
And that's where you wonder, how will a KD, if he goes there, will it really be an adversarial relationship? And one thing I say about Kevin Durant is in all his, you know, battles with the media or on social media or whatever it may be, it's never negatively affected his game. He's always been able to play well. So even if he goes there and has those issues, as long as he still plays well, it's not going to be a problem.
No, I agree with that. I do, because he's just played through it despite everything else that's gone on and stuff that he doesn't like.